Well, probably I'm going to say it the last time or one more time, and that is to encourage each and every one of you to read the Word of God. If you believe that the Bible is God's brief or inspired by God, then we need to read it. We need to pay attention to it. We need to spend time to muse on God's Word and allow it to saturate our hearts, our mind, our whole being. And we pray that the Spirit of God would teach us, lead us and guide us into all the truth. So as we continue to meditate on Psalm 119, and this evening we shall consider verses 49 to 56, may the Lord once again help us to understand His Word. Because the Word of God is our hope to salvation. So may the Spirit of God speak to us. So let us turn to Psalm 119. And I shall read verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The psalmist was a reader of God's word. He declared many times in this psalm that he delighted in the word. Over the years, he had acquired much knowledge of the word, and he believed every word he read. That is why he prayed that God would remember the word that he has spoken to him. Remember the word unto thy servant. God, remember remember your promise to me. Remember your word to me. But how often do we remember the word God has spoken to us? Many times we read the Word of God and we forget after a while what we have read. We need to pray that God by His Holy Spirit will help us to read the Word and to remember it. Of course, we hear of people giving excuses, saying that my memory is not so good. Well, if someone were to step on your toe, you will remember that person for life, for stepping on your toe. But to ask us to remember the Word of God, for many, we have difficulty. Well, the only way to remember the Word of God is to spend time reading the Word. Not to read it hurriedly, but to spend time to read the Word. Anyway, as long as God has given you breath, this is your book, this is your textbook, and you have to read it for life. Like John 3:16. How many times have you read John 3:16? I've read it hundreds and hundreds of times, and still today I'm reading John 3:16. Because each time when you read that particular verse, the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, may speak to you something new, something that you have not seen before. And that is why it is good to read the Word of God. The Word of God is refreshing. The Word of God is powerful. So here David said to God, remember your promise to me, remember your word to me. What you have spoken to me, remember it. But how much do we remember what God has spoken to us? So the psalmist was a reader of the word of God. And not only that, the psalmist had a high view of the Holy Scriptures. To him, the Word of God was very pure. We read that in Psalm 119, verse 4. 140. Psalm 119, verse 140. Says that thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant love it. The word of God is pure, without stain, without blemish. The word of God is absolutely pure. And that is why he had a high view of the scripture. It is inspired of God. Holy men moved, driven by the Holy Spirit of God, to pen down the very word of God for us today. And because the word of God is pure, he loved it and he delighted, you know, in it. He treasured it and cherished it. So he prayed, O Lord, remember the word you have spoken to me. God speaks to us by means of the word. If you want God to speak to you, you have to read the word. Whenever we read the word, there is always a message for us. May it be teaching, reproof, correction, or instruction in righteousness. There is always something for us. And being a born-again Christian, you cannot say that the word of God is very dry, very boring. And that's what happened to the Hebrew believers. We read in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say. Well, the writer had many things to say, many things to communicate to the believers, and had to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. The word of God becomes insensitive to them, dull of hearing. Well, I hope that the word of God will not be dull of hearing to you. Each time you read it, it refreshes your soul. It revives your soul. So the reason why the psalmist wanted God to remember the word that he had spoken to him is found in the latter part of this verse. Upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The psalmist, in effect, was saying, O Lord, remember the word you have spoken to me, for I take your word seriously, and I hope in your word. Remember your promise to me. It has given me hope. Well, let me illustrate. Before I became a missionary to India, I spent about 6 months praying to the Lord to show me whether it was His will for me to go to India as a missionary. And as I asked Him to show me His will, one day He directed me to Isaiah 58, which I'd like to share with you. Turn with me to Isaiah 58. All right, in Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 58, verses 10 to 11. And I read these two verses, I knew that God has spoken to my heart. Isaiah 58, verses 10 to 11 says, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose water fail not. About 35 years ago, India was a very different place, a land of contrast. And even up to today, there are many poor people, needy people in India. There are 600 villages, 600,000 of villages in India. And the place that I serve, the place that I went to preach the gospel, at that point in time, had a population of 100 million people. Just a state, 100 million people. So how to reach that 100 million people? But here the Lord spoke to my heart that if you were to draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, I will be a light rise in obscurity and the darkness be as a noonday. God will, you know, and then he said that he will guide me continually and satisfy my soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be a water garden and like a spring of water whose water fail not. And that was the promise that God has given me. So immediately I knew that it was God who has called me to this needy land. And I, by the grace of God, spent 2 years in India. Well, while I was there, I encountered many difficulties, many challenges. And whenever I'm in doubt, my mind would go back to the Word of God, would go back to the promise that God has given me, and that is in Isaiah 58, 10 and 11. Like the psalmist, I would say, Lord, remember the word you have shown me. Though I am going through rough times now, my hope is in your word. Always go back to the word of God. And for those who are seeking the word of God, to do the word of God, and if God has given you a Bible verse or a passage or some verses, always go back to these verses when you face a difficult time or when you are in doubt whether God has put you there or whether it is God's will for you to be there. So God's word offers hope. When our souls are in heaviness, his word revives and refreshes us. God's word says it, and he will bring it to pass. Paul said of Abraham's faith in God's word. Abraham's faith in God's word. And here is a good commentary, if you read the Genesis chapter 15, where God promised Abraham a son, and he waited for 25 years for his son to come. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, Paul said of Abraham's faith in God's word. In Romans 4, 21, it says, and being persuaded, that means Abraham being persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. So whatever God has promised us, he is able to bring it to pass. But it is a matter of time, and it is his time to bring whatever to pass. So remember the word, remember the promise God you have given me. It has given me hope. And then he goes on to read in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Who says there is no comfort in the midst of suffering? Who says there is no comfort in times of crisis? Where did the psalmist find comfort? in the midst of suffering? Well, the answer to this is the Word of God. Thy Word, for Thy Word hath quickened me. The Word preserves us alive. The Word has a quickening power. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word makes us not only alive, for Jesus says that the Word that I speak to you is life, all our lives. But it also causes us lively in God's service. And here we read, for instance, in the book of Hebrews, that famous chapter, the hero of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we read about the hero, the heroes of faith. And we read in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. And then we read in verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report or a good testimony through faith, receive not the promise. Well, here we have a group of people who have given their lives to God, who had done wonderful, wonderful work for God through faith, and yet they have not received God's promise. But they are all in heaven, you know, today. So there is always comfort in affliction. Always go back to the Word. If you are going through trials of life, difficulties of life, if you encounter a difficult situation in your workplace, or you have someone whom you find it difficult to go along with, maybe your colleagues, maybe your schoolmates, maybe your family members, always go back to the Word to find comfort, to find direction, to find guidance. And God's Word will instruct you what to do and what not to do. So there is always comfort in the midst of suffering, in the midst of crisis, or whatever situation or adverse circumstances that you are going through. God's Word is able to quicken us, to make us alive, to refresh us, to revive us. And then the psalmist go on to say that the proud, in verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in delusion, yet have I not declined from thy law. The proud always mock at God's people without restraint. Non-Christian, godless people always mock at us cruelly. They always blaspheme that worthy name by which we are called. Are you sure that God is all powerful? Are you sure that He is real or just an imagination? Are you sure He listened to your prayer, to your cry? Are you sure He can give you happiness? Are you sure Jesus died, you know, for your sin? Are you sure that He can, you know, He can deliver you from sin and misery and eternal, you know, damnation? See, they come again and again to mock you, to mock at you, to say all kinds of things, to discourage you. And many of these people blaspheme the name of God. They use the name of God, you know, in vain. And oftentimes, Christians get discouraged easily, especially new converts. And they either gave up their Christian faith or joined the non-Christian friends. I'm sure they have come across a people who feel so discouraged because of the environment that they are in, because of the atmosphere, the people that they work with. Day and night, they blaspheme the name of God. Day and night, they use the name of God in vain. Day and night, they come to you and point their finger at you and tell you that, oh, you are a Christian. But why do you do that? Why do you tell white lies? Sometimes we get very discouraged, and sometimes we just do not know what to do. And here the psalmist encourages us not to get discouraged, nor giving to the mockery of the proud. We must not give up following the teaching of the Word of God. Come what may, we must not forsake God's Word. And here we read, for instance, in verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. In other words, cause me to long for your testimony and not to covetousness. Or we read 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And then we read in 157. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies. Keep following the word of God. Don't give up. Come what may, whatever that they say, do not forsake the word of God. Keep reading it. Because the word of God gives us hope. So are you willing to die for the word of God? You know, in the 13th, 14th century in this country, people like Tyndale, Coverdale, many of these Puritans who worked hard to translate the Bible into the English language for the common people to read. And many of these people died as martyrs. They are willing to die for the Word of God. They are willing to do anything to protect the Word of God, to smuggle the Word of God into this country. How about us? Are we willing to die for the Word of God? You know, Paul, they tried to stop him from preaching the gospel. He was incarcerated, he was in prison, and yet Paul said that you may change me, but the word of God is not bound. In China, some of these underground church leaders were arrested, and the communists threatened them, if you continue to preach the gospel, I will cut off your tongue. Despite the threat, whatever that they do to them, they could not stop them from preaching the word of God. So are you willing? Are you willing to die for the word of God? Yes, the proud may mock at us. The proud may do anything. The wicked, the godless may do anything to us to stop us from preaching the word. But we must not be discouraged, but continue to teach the word, not to give up, but to read, to meditate, and to practice the word of God. 152, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Here the psalmist found comfort in God's judgment or ancient law. God's word is not fickle, but it is grounded firmly in his unchanging moral character. God does not change. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And therefore, his word never changes. The psalmist said that his word is forever settled in heaven. You read that in verse 89. Right? 89. Of Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And in 1 Corinthians, or rather 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul said, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Every promise of God is yes, and to the glory of God. And also we read, in 1 Kings chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, a wonderful verse to know. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. And here is what King Solomon said. Blessed be the Lord that have given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There have not failed one word of all his promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. He is not a liar. He is not like us. He cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And whatever that he promised, he will bring it to pass. And so all the promises of God in Jesus Christ are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God, not by us. No wonder the psalmist found comfort in them. We read, for instance, in Psalm 34 verse 6. Here we read Psalm 34 verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, the Lord promises to save those who are in trouble. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. So, brethren, you can trust the promises of God. And there are thousands of promises in the Bible. And David said, remember the word unto thy servant. Remember your promise to me. Do you? Do you remember the promises of God? There are so many. When you are lonely, which Bible verse will encourage you? When you sin against the Lord, which Bible verse promise you that God will cleanse you and wash you from all unrighteousness by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? So we do not need to give in to Satan's accusation. The Bible tells us that he is the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12. Accuser of the brethren. Every day Satan points his finger at us, accusing us. But we have the promises of God. And we can rely, you know, on the promises of God, because all his promises in him are yea, and in him amen. And whatever that he says, he will bring it to pass. So, brethren, you can find comfort. You can find encouragement. You can find strength in the Word of God. The Word of God is our hope. So do not forsake the teaching of God's Word. Read it. Read it and remember it. And then in verse 53, we read, "Horror have taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law." Horror seized the psalmist because the wicked have forsaken God's word. Now the word horror consists of terror mixed with indignation. Alright, terror mixed with indignation. It's just like we read in John chapter 2. Alright, let me read to you John chapter 2. John chapter 2, 13 to 16. Now Jesus was in the temple, and in the temple this is what happened. And the Jews of Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers of money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." Jesus was terrified, horrified, mingled with anger. How could these people do such things? Selling, buying and selling in the temple of God. So this is how the psalmist felt when the wicked forsake the law. And this is how he felt when men forsook God's word. He was horrified and terrified by what the wicked did. Now this is how we ought to feel when people, God's people, or people forsake the law of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." In other words, without the word of God, the people run wildly. Alright, the people run wild. In other words, the people commit crimes, murder, or whatever that is contrary to the law of God. But he who has the law and keeps it, happy is he. Happy they see. So we ought to show righteous anger, as what Jesus did in John chapter 2, overturning the money changers, table and so forth. We ought to show righteous anger to those who forsake or break the law of God. Sin is a monstrous, horrible thing in the eyes of all that are sanctified. You and I are sanctified. We are God's people. We are the children of light, the children of day. And so when we see the children of darkness commit sins, break the law, how do you feel? We should feel angry. We should show our righteous anger. And so the question is, if you know of someone, Christian or non-Christian, breaking the law of God, how would you feel? Will you get angry? Just like Paul was angry with Peter, we read in Galatians chapter 2, when a group of Judaizer, you know, Christians, I guess, you know, came to Antioch. And Peter initially was eating with the Gentile Christians. And then all of a sudden he moved away for fear of these Judaizer people. So much so that Paul had to rebuke him. Paul was angry that Peter was not following the teaching of the gospel truth. So how would you feel when someone has broken the law? Well, this is how the psalmist felt. He was angry. Well, you read in Psalm 119, verse 136. Psalm 119, 136. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. The psalmist wept. The psalmist was so sad that he wept uncontrollably, because the people do not keep the law of God. And so if you see a fellow brother and sisters in the Lord not keeping the law of God, breaking the law of God, how would you feel? Well, we should be like the psalmist. Feel sad. Cry about it and do something about it. Well, in verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. God's people are singing people. Well, we had our opening hymn, Come Christian, come and sing, join to sing. Christian people are singing people. They not only speak of God's word, but they also sing. They also sing of His word. God's word has not only become the daily strain, but also the daily songs. And so when you read the psalm, there are so many places that talks about it. Sing aloud unto the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. It is a good thing to sing praises unto thy name. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rod of our salvation. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. So many places the psalmist talks about singing, you know, songs unto the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and we always sing it. This is a chorus. When we are in good shape or bad shape, learn to rejoice, and rejoice, you know, all the time. Christian sings all the time, in times of sorrow, in times of joy, in times of suffering. When Paul was in prison, Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, you read that in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, the Bible tells us that at midnight, they sang unto the Lord. They worshipped God. So much so that the people in the prison heard their praises unto God. And then also we read in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, one of the manifestations of the Christians being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is found in 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Singing unto the Lord, not secular song, not classical song, but spiritual song. And that is why we have the Psalter and we sing it. There are so many psalms or verses in the psalms that can be sung. Well, we thank God for the wisdom given to some people who have created music for this. verses. And we sing it. And just now we sang it. You know, Psalm, you know, 119 verses 49 to 56. We sang some of the verses. So Christians are singing people. And then we read in verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. To remember God's name means to remember his word. And what is the best time to remember his word? The psalmist said, in the night. Alright, in the night. He meditated on it day and night. He found it profitable to do it in the night. And it gave him much time for reflection and application. That's why the latter part of it says, no, and have kept thy law. The outcome of our meditation on the word is the application of the word. When you spend time pondering on God's word, chewing on the word, reflecting on it, the outcome is you keep it in your heart and you practice it. So I do not know about you, but for me, I find reading the Word of God best in the wee hours in the morning. I would spend time reading because there are no disturbances. So it gave me much time to meditate on His Word and apply it accordingly in my heart. I have time to take down notes, write it on my Bible, think about it, allowing the Spirit of God to speak. And that's what we read in Psalm 16, verse 7. I will bless the Lord who have given me counsel, my reins. All right, in other words, my heart, literally my kidneys, my reins also instruct me in the night seasons. In the night season, 16:7 of Psalm. Well, you find your best time to read the Word, to meditate on the Word. But for me, I find it best in the early morning or in the late night. And then finally, these I had because I kept thy precepts. These I had means this blessing has fallen to me. Or this comfort I had because I am observing your word. So the general principle of the Bible is blessing comes. All right, blessings come by keeping the word. You read in Proverbs 13:13. The writer tells us that if we despise the word, we will get ourselves into deep trouble. Now turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Right, if you were to read the book of Deuteronomy, the first 14 verses talks about blessing. Promise blessing for obedience. And here we read, for instance, in verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You see that? If you, that's what we sang this morning or just now, trust and obey. This is the way. If you want to be happy with Jesus, trust and obey. And here the Bible tells us that if you were to observe and to do all His commandment, God will bless us with much blessing. And then you read in verse 15, promise curses for disobedience. And here we read, but, you see the contrast there? But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. All these curses. And I want to call your attention to verse 20. Underline that. Verse 20 says that the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexations, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. In other words, if we disobey God's word, if we forsake Him, the Bible tells us that whatever our hand lay upon to do, it becomes a curse. Your Bible study can be a curse. Your worship can be a curse. Because the Bible says that, and what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, you worship God with your lips, but your heart is far away from Him. So if we disobey the word of God, whatever that we lay a hand upon, it becomes a curse. And that is serious. Therefore, let us, by the grace of God, keep His precepts. These I had. It seems to me that in the Hebrew, if I'm not wrong, it's in the proof perfect. It's a perfect tense. These I had in the past, and I continue to have it. Alright, because I kept thy precepts. So in the past we have kept the word of God. Let us continue to observe His word. Let us continue to keep His word, so that we be blessed. The general principle, remember, of the Bible is blessing come by keeping the word of God. So brethren, I want to encourage you to read the word, because there's hope in it. For salvation comes by the reading of the word. And I trust that these 56 verses from Psalm 119 verse 1 to verse 56 over these 3 months have spoken, you know, to your heart, at least to encourage you to read the word of God. You do not need to read it hurriedly, but take your time to read it. Read through the Bible. You will know the will of the Lord when you need to know. Let us close.